Sabbath. Scripture reading is Acts 6:15. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel.
Happy Sabbath. I don't know why, but as the mic was being passed around, this verse, Matthew 5:31-32, came to mind. And Jesus answered, said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. Amen. Gary, thank you for that prayer. We'll just use that one for my opening prayer for the message today, and I thank you for that. When I was studying for this message, it always seems like something, even if it's small, something miraculous is going on when I'm going back and forth. I don't know how many sermons I listened to from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday about Stephen, but I wish there was more about his life that we could read about. Kenny, thank you for reading our scripture today. It talks about him. They saw the face of an angel. Who else in the Bible had a holy aura or glow about them, about their face? Moses. And that's the only other person, if I'm thinking correctly. Why was Moses' face glowing? He was in the presence of God. That's right. So we're going to take a look at Stephen and his life. Inspiration reveals a man of deep piety and broad faith. Piety is the quality of being religious or reverent, feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. Okay? Stephen was a Jew by birth, though he spoke the Greek language and was familiar with the customs and manners of the Greeks. For this reason, he found an opportunity to preach the gospel in the synagogues of the Greek Jews. And this is where we're going to get into some good stuff. Inspiration says he was very active in the cause of Christ, and he boldly proclaimed his faith. So we can see two very key ingredients of his life and some of the results that took place because of this. So what does it mean to be active in the cause of Christ and speak freely? Just take turns. What does it mean to you? He was very active in the cause of Christ. Anybody? Not being ashamed. And I left room in my little book for your answers. Not being ashamed. I like it. Anyone else?
Consistent.
Consistent? Morally or? Consistent in beliefs, okay. I like it. Active in the cause of Christ. Any others?
Well, he evidently was not scared to speak about Jesus.
No fear.
Boldness.
Boldness. Forthright. I like it. Anybody else? What does it mean to be active in the cause of Christ? These are two key, we're going to go over two key elements. How active he was in the cause of Christ, and he boldly proclaimed his faith. Okay? So these are two things that we're looking at. Right now, we're just looking at what does it mean to be active in the cause of Christ? What do you think, Gasper? Sharing.
He was active. He had to be busy.
Very good.
Traveling too.
Not afraid to travel or go where you're asked to go. Very good. I like all of this. My answer is a little bit longer because I had the help of studying and looking into this. I have here, intentionally living out the gospel or the good news of Jesus through service, evangelism, and character. Functioning as Christ's hands and feet to fulfill the Great Commission. Okay? This involves personal devotion, sharing your faith. We talked about that. Supporting the community, and aligning daily work with God's glory. So in our professions, we should be blessing those around us. We should be a blessing to those that we work for, right? Acting on faith by assisting the poor, helping neighbors, and volunteering. Now, with a side note, acting on faith by assisting the poor, helping neighbors, and volunteering, this type of volunteering or assisting is completely outside of these church walls. Right? This is really important to understand. Acting on faith, giving of ourselves. The poor are most likely not sitting next to you in the pew, although they could be. Neighbors, again, not likely here on Sabbath morning. And volunteering, there are things we can do in the church to volunteer, but I want to open our Bibles to Matthew 25. Amen, when you're there. Matthew 25. We're going to start in 35. 25:35, and the word says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee a drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Again, this is a key characteristic of Stephen. And the pen of inspiration says he was very active. Okay? Now let's turn to James 1. I keep passing it? James 1. Let's look at verse 27. The word says, pure religion and being and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So what is pure religion? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Again, key elements of the life of Stephen. Do we do these things? We have a Dorcas here. We like to do what we can to help people who need clothing, but it's very futile. We could do greater things. We could help more people. Do we visit anyone in prison? Do we visit the fatherless? Do we visit the widow in her affliction? Do we do any of these things? Do we go out of our way? Do we come outside of ourselves? Do we do any of this list? Again, the fatherless, the widows, most likely not sitting next to you in these pews. What are we doing outside of our church? Being active as Stephen is an upward calling. It moves beyond just passive belief. I think we're stuck on believe is all you need to do. Believe in me and have everlasting life. And then we're done. I believe. It's a passive belief. It moves beyond just being a passive belief into active daily applications. Daily applications. Sarah put a bunch of books in the back of my car. She says, anytime you see a homeless person, just put $10 in one of these and hand it out. I'm like, I see 100 homeless people a day where I drive in Wichita. And I'm like, you know, it's a great thought. And I have them now to pass out. I also have some prophecy pamphlets that I have in my glove box that I pass out as well. But we need to be actively engaged in the cause of Christ outside of these walls. It's easy to be a Christian within these walls with each other. It's easy. It needs to go further. Second point, what does it mean to boldly proclaim your faith? I have space for notes. What does it mean to boldly proclaim your faith? Share the gospel? What does it mean to boldly proclaim your faith? Should I continue?
Uphold the Sabbath. Why do you keep the Sabbath?
That's a good one. And it hadn't even crossed my mind. Our actions? Okay. Very good. Done for us personally. I like it. But the Sabbath one is going to hit us in the face. I've got a couple videos I'm going to share at the end of this. And I just want people to know where we're at. Because if... Huh? Bring, invite our neighbors and people we run into to church. I like it. Invite. We need to change that thought. We can't think that way anymore, Ginger. Never know what happens in a person's life that makes them suddenly be like, I'm going to try that. It could be the Holy Spirit working just like that. But if we're sitting in this church thinking anything we do is not going to work anymore, we've tried it, we've done it, that needs to be thrown out the door, kicked to the curb. Because it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. You're basically saying the Holy Spirit can't do nothing around us. And we have that attitude here. Needs to be squashed. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than you and I, correct? Very much so. There could be someone that we've visited 3, 4, 5 times, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit did something in their heart and they're anxious to hear, who was that again? What did I hear before? We need to give God room to do a great and mighty work. No more negativity, because he loves every... Who does God call out of Babylon?
His
people. We're not so high and mighty in here. We think we're the only ones that are going to experience salvation in God's kingdom. Are you kidding me? His people are out there, outside these walls where Stephen was active for the cause of Christ, outside of these walls, okay? Sharing and living out our religious, okay, what does it mean to be, to boldly proclaim your faith? Sharing and living out our religious beliefs with confidence, urgency, and urgency, I want to bolden and highlight, because our days are numbered. We are being surrounded on all sides. Christ is coming very soon, and it gets a lot worse before he appears in the sky. A lot of things happen. You have plagues that fall. You have people in confusion because they're going through this terriblest time the earth has ever seen, and they weren't raptured before it's upon them. We have a time coming we need to be prepared for. And without shame. Someone said we should share without shame. Even in the face of fear and opposition and social pressure, we need to share and live out our beliefs. Okay? We could do a whole message just on these two things. Boldly proclaiming our faith and actively working for the cause of Christ. Boldly proclaiming your faith is spirit empowered. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot boldly proclaim Jesus. It is spirit-empowered. It is a humble act of sharing the gospel and living according to the scripture rather than being swayed by popular opinion. It is acting despite of fear or uncertainty, trusting God to provide strength and words. This is an important part. Inspiration writes, to Stephen was the promise fulfilled, written in Luke 21, 14 and 15. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. We aren't supposed to sit here and think, man, when it gets bad and I'm taken to a court, or, you know, even if someone asks me about the Sabbath, or I'm not supposed to meditate on these things. How am I supposed to? The Holy Spirit, if we are daily walking in Christ's path, on His way, Christ's method alone, we should have faith that the words are going to come through the Holy Spirit. Right? So let's review. Stephen was very active in the cause of Christ. He boldly proclaimed his faith. As a result, we see something in Acts 6, 8, and we can turn there. Acts 6, 8. Amen when you're there. Amen. And Stephen, with a little bit of faith, full of faith and kind of strong, full of faith and power, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Does anyone ever go feed the dog and you're filling up its water bowl and it's to the brim? Can you ever get it to where if you need to take somewhere without spilling anything? Can you fill up a little coffee mug full of tomato soup all the way up and then go sit down on the couch? And is it going to overflow?
It is.
What does full mean? Could he have any more faith? Some versions say grace and power. He was full of grace and power. And I just want us to get the idea of this man, Stephen. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. Grace can mean a few different things. It can mean beauty, elegance, courteous. It's much like the word piety, where there's a reverence. And these two descriptions seem to be total opposite. Grace and power. Well, it's an unmerited favor.
It's power we get from Jesus.
From God. Right. You could also be graceful in your walk. You know? The power mentioned in verse 8, inspiration says, learned rabbis and doctors of the law engaged in public discussion with Stephen, confidently expecting an easy victory, but they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. Not only did he speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it was plain that he was a student of the prophecies and learned in all matters of the law. As the priests and rulers saw the power that attended the preaching of Stephen, they were filled with bitter hatred and determined to silence him, his voice, by what? By killing him. This man is full of faith and grace and power. He's doing miraculous things, which to me, I would imagine healing the sick, causing the blind to see, I imagine him doing great things as Christ. Okay. With this short study on Stephen, there are a couple points that need to be addressed. First of all, who knows the story of Stephen and where he came from? Acts 5 and 6. Many disciples were starting to accumulate in Jerusalem, and the 12 apostles, well, there is some confliction that the widows were not being attended to. And so the 12 disciples said, bring 7 disciples in and pick 7 of them that are full of grace and love. We could read it. But basically, he was chosen to be a deacon. And he was the foremost of the 7 deacons. Let's just go ahead and read Acts 6, 1 through 4. Amen, if you're there. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Basically, they were to bring food to them. They were to wait on these widows. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It kind of sounds to me like Stephen was put in the wrong position. Full of power and grace, performing wonders and miracles. I see a humble heart here. He fed the poor and the widows. He was a servant, okay? He was chosen to serve tables. Second point here. I got lazy and just took a picture, so bear with me. Second point. The parallels between the life of Stephen and Jesus. Both were accused of blasphemy by religious leaders for challenging the importance of the temple and the law. Forgiveness for executioners. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, in Luke 23:34. Stephen cried, Lord, do not hold this sin against them, Acts 7:60. Stephen gave a testimony and basically a chronological or a history of God's chosen people. And it enraged the religious leaders so much, they rushed him with gnashing teeth, threw him outside the city, and killed him by stoning. Stephen cried, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Another parallel. They committed their spirits. Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46. While Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts 7:59. They both had a heavenly vision. While dying, Stephen saw the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. That's a deep study right there in its own. Stephen was described as full of faith, grace, and power, reflecting the character of Christ in his preaching and his service. His name means crown, symbolizing his ultimate victory through his faith. Got a little bit of time here. Donna, we can go ahead and cue that up, but I got a little bit to say here. I don't know if you guys have EGW Writing app on your phone or not, but it's wonderful. Every book, every manuscript, every letter, pretty much anything Ellen G. White wrote is on that app that you can access and read, and some of it will even read it to you as you're driving or something. But in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10 is all about Stephen. And I can't help to compare Stephen's life and his circumstances to those that are living in the days that we are living in now. The days just before Christ is going to return. We have a religious authority forcing morality. I don't know if you've seen it lately. There are even some saying, get out the guillotines because they're blasphemous. In Stephen's time, religious leaders bribed Roman officials to pass over without comment instances where the church had taken the law into their own hands, tried, condemned, and executed prisoners. Saul had brought the weight of eloquence and the logic of the rabbis to bear upon Stephen's case to convince the people that he was preaching delusive and dangerous doctrines. We have dangerous doctrines, but they say it too. They're using the Bible. Let's go ahead and play this one. This Southern Baptist preacher.
God made the rules of the world, and we say this is how we should order our lives together. And frankly, yes, we are going to impose it upon you. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but this is good and right and just if it lines up with God's standards. And we humbly submit to how God made the rules of the world, and we say this is how we should order our lives together. And frankly, yes, we are going to impose it upon you. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but this is good and right and just if it lines up with God's standards. And I am going to enforce my morality on you in as much as our morality is God's morality. And you should always check yourselves. I'm not trying to puff you up. Check yourself. Do I believe what God believes? Am I defending what God says is good? And if it is, then you should have the courage to say, this is how we're going to run our town. This is how we're going to run our county. This is how we're going to run our state. And this is how we should run the United States of America, by legislating the morality that we can find in the Bible. We humbly submit to how God made the rules of the world. And we say,
has anyone seen this? Is he just somebody sitting in a pew somewhere? Would he be a religious leader where he's from? Where can we read in the Bible where there's force to love Christ? The next one's a little bit longer, but we've got time, and I want everybody to watch it. Some of you might have seen this, but let's watch that one, Donovan. Yeah, scroll down. You can back up and turn the volume on. Yeah, and it will go full screen. The blue line.
Something I really encourage. I don't see a big, it's harder to see a big federal role for this. I think this is more a question of state and local law, is reinvigorating, where possible, Sabbath rest laws. To be very specific, this was basically the norm, as best, I've looked into this, I'm working on some research on this, really going, literally dating back to Constantine and his recognition of Christianity in the Roman Empire, that you've had a pretty consistent tradition in Western civilization of taking Sunday off from commerce. This, of course, this is a tradition that has roots not only in Christianity, but in Judaism, and keeping the Sabbath holy. And having a time not only for, it's not merely from rest in the sense of abstinence from work, but it's rest for time with God, time worshiping God. It's rest for time with community, or and even before, in between is time with family. The lack, one of the things that I think has been so so harmful to the world of work and how we think about work is the lack of kind of well-defined and shared times for rest. One of the best pieces on this from a secularish author named Judith Shulevitz put this in The Atlantic a few years ago, called Why You Never See Your Friends Anymore. And she opens with talking about the Soviet experiment in abolishing the 7-day week, replacing it with a 5-day week where just 1/5 of all the people are randomly assigned, like, you will have this day off, you will have this day off. It was a debacle. And within a few years,
that was 2 days off.
Admit, this was a very bad idea. The masters, even the gulag, thought that this was a bad idea. Like, we can't keep doing this. So having more of that steadier rhythm of work and rest would be so much healthier, so much happier, and help people more readily connect with the purpose of their work. Being able to push back from your work allows you to more readily see it as service to God, service to family, service to community, than the weird kind of soup of half rest, half work that we all seem to be floating in all the time.
Okay, Pope Leo is fulfilled.
Thank you, Donovan. Does anyone know who that was speaking? Jonathan Berry was just recently confirmed by the United States Senate to serve as the Solicitor of Labor. The Solicitor of Labor. Who's read in Ellen White's writings that the labor unions are going to have a big push for Sunday laws? He's the head of it. We're getting close, guys. A lot of people are, how are we going to have one world money? Well, digital currencies is bigger and bigger and bigger. You can't even go into a national forest without a card. They no longer accept cash or change. It's digital. All right, coming to a close. Who recalled him saying, we need to go back to the time of Constantine and Rome? It's interesting, I saw a video clip of Benjamin Netanyahu calling the United States Rome. He's supposed to be on our side, and he's battling the new Rome being the United States. We see right here, they think our Christianity came from Rome. I'm sorry, but our Christianity comes from Jesus. And Rome has a lot of different theologies and doctrines. It's even called the wine of Babylon. That is Rome. And he also said it's more than just about our environment, care for our earth, or care for our family, time with our family. He mentioned worship, a day of worship, legislating a day of worship. All right? With that being said, we should be joyous in this occasion. Did Stephen cower when he was put in front of the councils and the rabbis and the leaders of the law, the rulers of the law, he stood firm with power. He laid it out so much to the point to where they couldn't even argue him. They just needed to shut his mouth. We need to be bold and active. In closing, let's turn to Ephesians. Well, let's start with 1 Peter 3:15. Amen? I'm going to move a little quicker. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can we be ready for something if we haven't gone over it and studied it? Can I go past like my get my realtor's license without even opening a book and go pass that test? But we think we're going to be ready for what's coming without spending time in God's Word? Who knows the Ackerman this world has given the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Kind of silly, but man, it's really true, right? Basic instructions. Yep. Now let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, and we'll read 11 and 12. Amen? Amen? Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Amen? What was our other verse? We shouldn't meditate on what we're going to say. Right here, God, Jesus Christ, says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. If we've never read it, I believe it's going to be a thus saith the word type of answer. And if we don't know what the Word says, can the Holy Spirit bring that back into our thought?
No, but it says he shall teach you in the same hour.
He shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say.
I agree you're going to have to know it, but he's going to be able to bring that back.
Right, exactly. He brings it back to your memory. Raise your hand if you've often thought about, what am I going to say if... We've all done it, right?
But how many of us have witnessed to people and been able to bring a lot of those verses to text and write out?
You know, while we're witnessing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens now. He brings those up in our minds as we witness. It's not just in the end when we're forced to give an answer for what we believe in. It's that whole thing of working out our minds, our faith, like you're in the gym. If we're not doing things to increase our faith, you know, it's just not going to come in an instant. If we're not living the life and letting God, letting Christ lead us on a daily, we're going to have a... I'm afraid there's going to come a point where people might not be able to catch up, but his people are out there in Babylon. They're not going to have a whole lot of time to know 28 fundamental beliefs. they're going to come out of her because they don't want nothing to do with it, right? And they're going to put all their whole heart and trust and faith in Jesus Christ. In closing, Ephesians 3. And we're going to read verses. We're just going to read 14 to 21 in closing. Amen? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do we want to be full? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.